Let's all together take our hymnals this morning, please, and we'll be turning to page 25. Number 25, Praise the Lord who reigns above and keeps his court below. It's important for us to remember that he keeps his court here where we dwell as his children. Number 25, shall we stand to sing, please? First hymn this morning. Would you be seated? Let's turn together to number 116. 116, Hymn of Assurance, This is My Father's World. 116.
New memory verses for this month. They're really not new. They're some of the best known verses. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. For most of us, this will just be a review. We'll say the reference and the verses together. Matthew Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We thank you for your presence here this morning. See empty places here and there, and I know this time of the year there are many folks that perhaps go away for a few days, but we're glad you're here. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, we say a special welcome to you. I'd like to know something of your visit. You'll find a visitor's card in the book rack in the pew in front of you. Appreciate you taking one of those cards, fill it out, drop it in the offering plate when it passes by you in just a little bit. Again, we thank you for coming. The Outreach 2000 meetings are fast approaching. For the next several weeks during the month of October and the first three Tuesdays in November, we're striving to get 100 people out to pray on Tuesday mornings. Don't need to all come at one time. Anytime between the hours of 7 and 9, you can spend a half hour, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever the Lord leads you to spend when you come to pray. But we need much more prayer for our own needs and for the needs of others. Remind the folks in the power company that Pastor Cruz would meet you here on Tuesday morning and take you out to the Palmetto Center. And I trust some of you will take advantage of that time to go with Pastor Cruz. But all the churches, I hope, are announcing this today, at least the ones that know about it. 35 has been our top number. That averages 1.5 persons for each church involved, which is a very, very small group. But let's see if we can't have 100. Do our part. Have 100 out there each Tuesday morning. Not just for the number, but for the power of prayer. That's what we're after. That's what we need. We have about $110,000 now toward the budget. Again, that's a reason to thank the Lord and to praise Him. Thank you for your part last week. And other churches have yet to give, and maybe some of you didn't have anything to give last week that you'd like to give today, and if you'll designate it for that purpose, we will send it. But again, don't take part of your regular giving to give to that. We need your giving in our weekly budgets. But pray that the remaining amount of the money would come in. And our prayer room is open before and after the service here on Sunday evening. Still an opportunity for the ladies to order tapes from the conference last week. Mrs. Arnold will be back at the desk in the ministry center. We thank the Lord for the good men's retreat, for the ministry of Pastor Drew Conley, and we'll be making an announcement about the availability of those tapes perhaps by next week. But we are grateful for every man who was able to go, and sorry for those of you who could not go. You missed a tremendous blessing. I was greatly blessed and challenged. I'm too old to go to the Fourth Falls or anything like that, but I was blessed by the messages of Pastor Conley, and I had a lot of men tell me the same thing. So it was a spiritually refreshing time as well as a physically refreshing time as well. This is the last week that you can register to vote if you plan to vote in the November elections. Now that's 30 days, you have to be registered at least 30 days. So that time will be up this week. We do have registration forms back in the ministry area. Some of you got those last week. If you didn't register and you're not registered, this is a crucial election, particularly here in our own state in regard to the lottery. And I hope you will register and I hope you will vote. We have these folders on the so-called education lottery. Explains about the lottery, gives the actual wording of what we'll be voting on. We have 5,000 of these. We'd like to give them all out. And there are some at the reception desk as well as in the ministry center. Those are not the only ones we have. We have boxes of them. That 5,000 is a lot. And we don't want to waste these. We want to give them out. In fact, we'd like to get more. You go up and down your street. Maybe you have a place of business. Put them there. If we're afraid to take a stand on this, we are really afraid. This is something that's so important to our state, that we defeat this lottery. The Lord's going to give us what we choose. And if God's people don't get out and vote against it, the others are going to choose for it. And we're going to have a lottery starting very, very soon. Very big detriment upon our state. So please, please, do what you can to oppose this. There are yard signs available. I've not found out where those are from, but we will find out about that so that you can put out some yard signs as well. Other announcements in the bulletin, I trust you'll give your attention to. And thank you for your offering last month. The offering report is in the bulletin. Trust that, again, today you'll find joy in serving the Lord in this way. Mildred Ayers remains in St. Francis Hospital following her surgery. Nathaniel Clayton is still in Allen Bennett Hospital. Mr. P.W. Banks, one of our longtime members, will be having cataract surgery on Thursday. He's very concerned because of his age about that. Would you please pray for the success of that? Remember Jim Martin and his continuing battle with cancer. Lester Wright had some tests last Wednesday. He is suffering from congestive heart failure. Pray for Mr. Wright. Gene Olson had outpatient surgery on Tuesday. We're asked to continue to pray for Mrs. John Dreisbach as she recovers from surgery. George and Marilyn Jensen will be leaving on Tuesday, I believe, for Uruguay, where they could be for an extended time. We're going to miss them and pray that the Lord will give them a safe trip and the Lord will be with them as they are there involved in that ministry that they've had a part in Uruguay for many, many years. Sue Whittington's mother passed away in Florida. Lynn Sahested. Lynn is the wife of Dan Sahested. They are missionaries in Romania. Her dad passed away in Oklahoma. She came home for that funeral. Albert Howard, one of our men, passed away several years ago, the husband of Joyce Howard, and Albert's father has passed away. Joyce has asked us to pray that this service especially will be a special testimony for the Lord. Please join me now in prayer. Lord, we rejoice today because you are here with us. You live within each one of us who by your grace has been saved. Your Holy Spirit then took up abode in our bodies, and our bodies have become your temples. Give us, Lord, a strong realization of that this morning, that God lives in me. Lord, you in me. Each one of us can say that. So may we live in light of that truth. May we seek to please thee in what we are and in what we do. We're grateful for the special blessing that many of our ladies were able to have last week and the special time that many of our men had this past weekend. And Father, I pray that the things that we heard and the areas in which we were challenged will show up in our lives in the days to come. We pray again for Outreach 2000, for a mighty outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. We want to see souls saved. But Lord, we also want to see your people stirred up and revived. I want to see, Lord, our church stirred up. I want to see myself stirred up by the working of your Holy Spirit. Not anything that man will do, but what your Holy Spirit can do and we pray will do. Guide us in our giving today. May we find joy in serving thee in this way. And then remember all of these requests for physical needs. We pray for these who have lost loved ones. We ask, Lord, that you will use these losses to speak to the hearts of those who remain, that unsaved people would realize their need of Christ and turn to him, and backslidden Christians would get back into a right relationship with him. Now, Lord, guide us and direct us through this service. And as we go away from here today, may we go once again with the great knowledge that we, as we have met together, we have also met with thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
is our prayer each week as we participate in the music program, that the music will be a blessing to you and a challenge to you as it's sung and played. I do want to say a special thank you today to Ryan Pennington for his beautiful offertory for us this morning. Now let's be a blessing to each other by singing together, turning your hymnals to 448, 448, a hymn of assurance day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. 448, day by day, shall we stand to sing, please? So let's everyone sing on the melody till we get to the end of the phrase, offered me within thy holy word. Beginning with that next phrase, let's go into our parts as we sing together. Would you please help me then in every tribulation?
From Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Pastor Dave Urich. Our scripture today is the same as our memory verses, so we'll not read it again. Portia Blackman will come and sing for us following prayer. Shall we pray together? Father, thank you once again for this day. Thank you that we're able to come and put aside the other responsibilities and cares of life for this time. And Lord, we sympathize with millions in our world today who don't take advantage of this opportunity. They just continue on day after day, week after week, carrying all the burdens of every day and still, Lord, seeking to gain wealth or gain fame or gain power or gain something by their continual labors. You've given us this day to rest in Thee. You've given us this day to rejoice in Thee. And I pray as we continue on in this service today that truly our hearts will be touched with a sense of your love and your care and your blessing to us. If any are here or any who listen do not know Jesus Christ, may this become the day of their salvation as they forsake sin and turn to Christ and receive eternal life through Him. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Portia, for your ministry to us this morning. Behind every definite human action, there is a motive, a reason for doing what we do. In urging people to give of themselves and of their means to the work of the Lord, pastors have run the gamut of motives. Some have pressed what they hold to be the sinfulness of riches and the holiness of poverty. For this reason, some have taken a vow of poverty, and they have forsaken every material thing, supposedly. Now, while we are to yield all to the Lord for His use and His direction, there is nowhere in the Bible that teaches that wealth is sin and poverty is holiness. Some very wealthy people are spiritual people, and some people who are in the very depths of poverty are very wicked people. So this is really not a scriptural motive for giving to the work of the Lord. Others have emphasized the responsibility that those who have toward those who do not have, commonly referred to as charity. And all of us contribute in addition to our contributions and our offerings to the Lord. I'm sure that most of us contribute to various charities in our communities, or we send even to places afar off, and we do seek to help those who do not have the necessities of life, or to help those who may be wrought with serious diseases for which there presently is no cure, and we may give to the research that there might be a cure found in time that would be a remedy for these diseases. So this matter of responsibility to others, yes, is a valid motive in our giving. Duty is a strong motive, a duty to God and duty to our fellow human beings. Duty is a very wonderful word, and we have lost much of our sense of duty. But we do have a duty to give to God. We have a duty to give to the needs of others. That, too, is a worthy motive. Of course, stewardship is a powerful motive. As you've heard from this pulpit so often, and as we read in the Bible, what we have belongs to God. It's not ours. It's entrusted to us for a time. God gives it to us to use while we are here, to use to meet our own needs, and then that which is beyond our needs to use for His glory in other ways. And we all are stewards. And the stewardship demands that we give to God and we give to the work of God. Love is a motive that is higher than any of these. Dwight L. Moody once said, "I get tired of hearing people talk duty, duty, duty. Let a man's heart be filled with the love of God and he will get beyond duty." Love is one of the greatest motivators in every area of life, including that of our serving the Lord through giving. However, there is still another motive for giving ourselves and our means to the Lord, which may seem to be selfish and worldly and perhaps completely humanistic, and yet it's a motive that Jesus Himself urged upon His hearers more than one time on a number of occasions. It's very different from these other motives we've mentioned. It's also, in a way, much more appealing to most of us. It is expressed here in these verses which make up our text this morning. It's the motive of a wise investment. Give because to give to the work of the Lord in the right way, in the right place, is a wise investment. It's rather shocking at first to realize that instead of emphasizing responsibility, duty, stewardship, or love, all worthy motives, that Jesus advised men to put their lives and their money to spiritual uses as a wise investment. Yet when you think about it, all of life is an investment. Success in life depends upon receiving adequate returns from the efforts we put forth in our various endeavors of life. Life is an investment. The Sermon on the Mount, from which these verses are taken, has been called the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven. It has a financial section which begins with this 19th verse of chapter 6, where Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." We might ask the question, why not, Lord? Why not lay up treasures here? Should we not do it because it's wrong to make money? No, it's not. Should we not do it because you have to be dishonest to make money? Now, there are many people that use dishonest means to seek to make money. Should we not do it because it's wicked to be rich? Already mentioned that. Nowhere does the Bible say it's wicked, it's wrong to be rich. Should we not do it because God wants everyone to be poor? Now, Jesus said you'll have the poor with you always. And even with all the government programs we have today, they're still poor people and there always will be. So should we not lay up treasures on earth because God wants everyone to be poor and in poverty? No, the Bible doesn't teach that. Does he not want us to lay up treasures on earth because it's a sin to even think about treasures? To even think about laying up something? And again, the Lord answers our question with none of these statements. He says, lay not up for yourselves because earthly riches are a poor investment. Why? He says, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Now, he doesn't use the precise words, don't lay up treasures on earth because it's a poor investment. But if you put your treasures where moth can destroy or where thieves can steal, where rust can corrode it and do away with it, then certainly that's not a very wise investment. Now, there's not a word here spoken by Jesus on this occasion about the blessing of having nothing or about charity or about duty or about stewardship or about love. Now, he speaks about those things elsewhere, but here in this particular place, he speaks of laying up treasures on earth as being a poor investment. After telling us that earthly treasures are a poor investment, Jesus immediately tells us how to make a wise investment in verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. No moths eat up your treasures in heaven. He used the word moths here because the wealth of many of the people in his day consisted of expensive garments. This was their treasure. And they had these garments and they'd put them away for safekeeping. And when they go to get them out, they'd find that the moths had been there and had destroyed their garments. No moths in heaven. No rust to corrupt things in heaven. And certainly no thieves in heaven. We have plenty of thieves in this world. But there will be no thieves in heaven to break into the treasure house of heaven and to steal what we have put there. There are those who feel that giving to the Lord's work is like throwing money into a hole. They say, oh, it does some good, I'm sure. But it does me no good. I'll never see it again. Here, Christ contradicts that idea. He teaches us that giving to Him is an investment that shall never fail. We're all looking for sure investments. Here is an investment, Jesus says, that will never fail, an investment of that which we lay up in heaven. Someone found this on a tombstone in England. What I spent, I had. What I kept, I lost. What I gave, I have. You say, how can that be? What I gave this morning, I don't have it. It's gone. No, but that was a part of your laying up treasure in heaven, if you know the Lord. Some ask, won't we all share alike in heaven? I mean, salvation is a gift of grace. And we know the Bible teaches that none of us can earn salvation. None of us can buy it. There's no other way to get it except to receive it as a gift. So salvation is received by all who are saved in the same way as the gift of God through Jesus Christ. Since we are all saved alike, won't we all share alike in the rewards of heaven? Now, it's true that salvation is a gift. Nothing
nothing more than a gift, and yet so many people are trying to work their way to heaven. Poor souls. Rewards are for service. And they'll be given in proportion to our faithfulness and our effectiveness of that service in line with our opportunities. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know all this is review for you this morning, but how we need to be reminded of this, of these truths. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verse 13. This is when we give an account to God. Paul says, through the Holy Spirit, every man's work shall be made manifest, that is, shall be made known. For the day, that is the day of accounting, the day when we stand before God and give an account, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, or it shall be tested by fire, and the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned by the fire, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, or like one who goes through a fire and loses everything. So it's very, very plain here that our rewards will not be the same when we give an account to Jesus Christ as we stand before Him. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things which are done in the body, whether good or bad. There would be no need for the judgment seat of Christ if all are going to share alike in the eternal rewards. Yes, as far as getting into heaven is concerned, we're all going to get in the same way. And we're all going to rejoice before the throne of God forever and ever because of the grace of God by which we were saved, by which we were made the sons of God. That's going to be the same for all of us. But the rewards are not going to be the same. Remember the parable of the talents Jesus told? Man went away and he left the responsibility of talents or money with three of his servants. Two of them invested their talents wisely and they were greatly rewarded. The third one did not. And he was cast aside and he was cast into outer darkness, it says. Our rewards are not going to be the same. Now, God's going to make the determination. He's going to determine what we invested, what our motive was, what our reason was for investing. He's going to determine the effectiveness of our investment. But we can know that what we lay up in heaven will not be consumed by the things that destroy our treasures here on earth. There's so many thieves that can steal our treasures here. It can be the thief of depression, of war, of thieves, literal robbers. It can be sickness. Finally, death robs us of everything that we have laid up here in this world. It's all left behind. Now, after determining that an investment is safe, an investor becomes interested in the return that he's going to get. What interest will the Bank of Heaven pay on our investment? If it's a safe place to lay it up, in contrast to laying up here on earth, what investment will we receive? Again, I hear someone remark, well, preacher, that's mercenary. We should not ever give anything to the Lord expecting a return or being concerned about a return. No, that's not befitting for a Christian to do that. But let's see how Jesus answered this inquiry that was made of him. Turn to Matthew 19 now. This is a well-known story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. Asked him what he had to do to inherit eternal life. Verse 16, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And you know that Jesus went on and said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He said unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect," not if thou wouldest be saved, but if you would gain that which is the highest, "go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now notice verse 27. Referred to this just a week or so ago. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Now that was a very mercenary sounding question, wasn't it? "Lord, we've left it all to follow thee. What are we going to get from it? What's the return going to be on this investment that we have made?" Now, Jesus didn't answer Simon, saying, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Simon, for even asking a question like that, for even entertaining the thought of a return on your investment. You ought to rejoice in being poor, in the fact that you've left all to follow me. You ought to have enough of a vision to see how wonderful it is to surrender all to follow me and get nothing in return. Shame on you, Simon, for your selfishness." We might have imagined that Jesus would answer in that way, but he did not. Not a word like that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus. What did he say to him? Jesus said unto them, now Peter asked the question, but they were all interested in it. What are we going to get? What's our investment going to pay? What is coming to us because of our surrender to you? Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now we talk about what Peter and Andrew and James and John left a couple of Sundays ago. They left their boats and they left their nets and they left the catch of fish and they left their loved ones. What were they going to get in exchange for that? The Lord said, "You know, when I come in my glory, you're going to sit upon a throne." They exchanged these things for a throne of glory in the kingdom of God. But he didn't stop there. He said, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands." Now that runs the whole gamut of what we can leave, doesn't it? Look at that again. Houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. 100-fold. Now that is not talking about 100% increase. I mean, if you have $100 and you get 100% increase, you get $200, don't you? No, he says it'll be multiplied 100 times. That's really 10,000%. Wouldn't you like to buy a CD tomorrow that promised you 10,000% return? That was Jesus' answer. He didn't say, "Simon, that's terrible for you to ask a question like that. I thought I taught you better than that." No, he promised them a throne, and he promised them a 10,000% return. And Mark adds the words, now, in this life. And maybe you're saying, I haven't experienced that. We don't always count the way the Lord counts. It may not always return to us in dollars and cents, but God has many ways of bestowing blessings upon us. God doesn't wait until we get to heaven to begin paying in our investment. He starts the payment of it now. But He'll continue paying for all eternity. What's the secret? It goes back to full surrender. I can't hold tightly to what God has entrusted to me. I can't hold that unto myself and very begrudgingly give a little bit here and a little bit there and expect this promise to be fulfilled. He didn't confine it to the disciples, did He? Look at verse 29 again. Everyone. It comes right down to us today. We're willing to surrender it all. There's going to be a tremendous return for our investment. The wisest investment we can make of our time and our talent and our treasures is in the cause of Christ. The very best investment that we can make. What is God's opinion of the person who doesn't lay up treasure in heaven? You know the story of the rich farmer whose crops exceeded his storage capacities. And he said, what will I do? I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. And I'll say to my soul, take thine ease, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And God said, you fool. That's God's opinion of the person who doesn't lay up treasure in heaven. You're a fool. Isn't a very nice term, but that's what God calls in His Word those who don't lay up treasures. Those who are not rich toward God. So you ask, how do we lay up treasure in heaven? First of all, we have to have an account. You can't invest any money in a bank or any kind of a program here in this world until you open an account. So we can't lay up a treasure in heaven until we open an account there. And every one of us who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, the moment we were saved, our heavenly account was opened up for us. God took care of that. With salvation came the opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. It started the day we were saved. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, then you don't have an account there and you can't add to that account. You can't invest there. You can't claim this promise. It's only for those who have come to Christ and who have received Him into their hearts and into their lives. And once saved, then there's the opportunity to invest, to lay up treasure in heaven. So first of all, we have to open an account. Turn to Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. Jesus had just told the story of the unjust steward. And in verse 9 He says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. That's a very difficult verse to, I guess you'd say, decipher, to know what it means. Let me read you what the American Standard, New American Standard Bible says. Make friends for yourselves by means of the mammon of unrighteousness. That's money. That's the mammon of unrighteousness. Not that money is unrighteous in itself, but it's called the mammon of unrighteousness. That's money. That when it fails, or it means when you die, use your money so that when you die, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. That is, that you'll be welcomed to heaven by those who heard the gospel and were saved through ministries that you supported with your money and your means. Can you imagine that when a Christian enters into heaven, soon after he arrives, an angel comes to him and gives him a printout of all of the people who contributed in one way or another to his salvation? I don't know how the amount by it or not. but it'll be made known to every believer, all who had a part in him receiving the gospel and having an opportunity to hear the word of God. I suppose on that printout, there will be the dates of those who are already in heaven when they arrive, and there will also be the dates that those who are going to arrive who haven't gotten there yet. So that when you and I get to heaven, we're going to have the opportunity of learning every person who shared in our salvation. Every person who invested in one way or another in the gospel so that you and I could hear it and be saved. And we're likewise going to have an opportunity to know the ones in whose salvation we share. Now, salvation, I said, is not of us. It's all of God. But God uses our means to get the gospel to those who need to hear. And today we have a tremendous opportunity still before us. Many closed doors, many ways perhaps in which we are limited in giving out the gospel, but just think of all of the open doors. And as we give, it ought to be with that before us. Hey, what I'm giving to the work of the Lord will somehow be used of God to reach somebody with the gospel. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have the opportunity of learning about all the souls in whose salvation I had a part because I used the mammon of unrighteousness. I used my money to lay up treasure in heaven. What greater treasure could there be in heaven than for us to meet hundreds and maybe even thousands of people some folks will be able to meet and we'll hear them say, thank you, thank you, thank you. You had a part in my salvation because you used your money wisely. You didn't keep it all for yourself. You didn't give begrudgingly. You gave joyfully to lay up an investment that will last for all eternity. And that won't just be a little passing thank you. We'll be thanking one another, I believe, for all eternity. And it might take us a long time to follow up everybody on that printout. Because I say for some folks, there'll be thousands who contributed to their salvation. So it may take a while to do it, but there's no time in eternity. We have forever to do it. Are you making a wise investment? You see your giving as that? A wise investment. All that we hold ourselves here is in danger of being taken from us. Riches take wings and fly away. Doesn't mean that we don't provide for ourselves. Doesn't mean that we don't provide food and clothing and shelter and take care of our families. Doesn't mean that we don't spend some money on our pleasure and on our leisure time. But it does mean that we have a vision for what can be done with what we invest in the bank of heaven that will be of joy to us and to others for all eternity. Have you opened the account? That's the first question. Have you opened the account? Have you received Christ as your Savior? If you don't know Him, you have no account. You can lay up no treasure. All you can do is lay up treasure here in this world. And it's all going to be destroyed. It's all going to be taken from you. But if you know Christ and you have Him, then you can, if you will, lay up treasure in heaven. That's the second question. Are you laying up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt? And where thieves cannot break through nor steal. A great motive that Jesus gave us for giving. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we give begrudgingly. We give out of duty. We give because we want to try to please somebody else. But may we not lose sight of the motive that you gave here in the Sermon on the Mount, that laying up treasure in heaven is a wise investment of our use of our means. Some of that investment is going to be in time. Some of it is going to be in employing our gifts and our talents and our abilities. Some of it is going to be in our treasure, in the funds that you permit us to have. Now, Lord, I pray for someone who may be here in the auditorium this morning or who may listen by radio, who doesn't even have a heavenly bank account. There's no way they can lay up treasure in heaven because they have no account, because they do not have Jesus Christ. Lord, what a futile life it is when we live it for self and when we die without Christ. And even though we may have accumulated billions, we lose it all when we breathe our last breath. You've said, make to yourselves friends with the mammon of unrighteousness so that they'll welcome you to heaven's shore. What a tremendous blessing that will be to meet all those folks who had a part in our salvation and then to meet all of those in whose salvation we had a part. What glory, what blessing. Help us not to lose sight of it. Help us to be more intent upon laying up treasure in heaven where we'll enjoy the benefit of our investment forever and ever. Father, you know other needs that may be present here this morning, present in the hearts of those who listen. While we've talked primarily today to God's people, we know that you love sinners. You sent Jesus to die for sinners. You want to save all who will come to you, and you'll cast no one away. And Lord, there may be some Christians who have other problems in their business or in their marriage or in their personal lives. And some of that may be because they're not investing wisely that which you entrust to them. So Lord, again, I commit each one unto thee. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing number 319. And if you're here and you don't have a heavenly bank account, you can open one this morning. But more importantly, you can become a child of God by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you can begin to invest for eternity. Maybe God has spoken to you as a Christian. You haven't been a good investor. You haven't been a wise investor. You've been holding on tightly rather than really investing that which God has given you. Maybe you have other needs in your life that you need to bring to the Lord today. And we'd be happy to talk with you as you come, or you can kneel here at the altar and do business with God, or we can send somebody with you to a quiet room where God can minister to your needs this morning. God is so gracious. He's so wonderful to us to give us this opportunity. Will you come? Let's stand together. Heavenly account? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you sure? so important that we know we're saved. And God's made that possible for us. We don't have to be wondering. Don't have to just be hoping in a false hope. We can know. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know it? Christian, is there something you need to turn over to the Lord today? Something you're holding on to? You've not made that full surrender. You've not really forsaken all. I don't mean you've walked away from everything, but you haven't made it all available to the Lord. Maybe you have others who are not members of our congregation. You believe this is where the Lord would have you. We invite you to come, include you in the invitation as well. But heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And as the choir sings, take this personally as your moment of opportunity to follow the Lord today. It's your opportunity. Yours. Whatever your name is, it's yours to follow the leading of the Lord in your life. Will you do it? As the choir sings. Open for us to come to Thee. May not be here in this auditorium, may not be today, although You've said, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. But Lord, we still can come as long as we have life and until the Lord Jesus returns. I pray that throughout the world today there are many who will come to Christ and be able to begin that blessed process of laying up treasure in heaven. Help us to be more faithful in laying up our treasures, that we can enjoy benefits now from Thee and for all eternity. Ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Next weekend is going to be a very special weekend for us. It's going to be the commemoration of the Men for Missions 25th anniversary. Dr. Bob Wood will be our special speaker. He's one of our own men. He'll be speaking to the men, young men, at the breakfast on Saturday morning. And then he'll be speaking at both of our services here on Sunday. So I hope you'll be praying for that. You'll plan to be here. Perhaps you can bring somebody with you for that special day as we thank the Lord for 25 years of ministry through Men for Missions. Let's turn to 399. We'll sing first and last verses. Jesus, I my cross have taken all to leave and follow Thee. 399, verses 1 and 3, and then we'll be dismissed.